So we are in chapter 22 this morning of Genesis. 3 weeks ago, we asked the question, does God test his servants? And we have found the answer to that question is a definite yes. And so this is our fourth in a series of messages about God's testing. The first sermon we looked at was, we're looking at these chronologically as they occurred, was the obedience test. In the Garden of Eden and also in the life of the nation of Israel, God is daily testing us to see, will we obey his word? Then the second week we looked in the book of Job at the suffering test. Does God allow suffering in our lives to test us? Absolutely. To test and refine us. Then last week we looked at the patience test. Does God ask us to wait sometimes? And the answer is yes. Many times the scripture is told to wait upon the Lord. We saw there in Luke chapter 18 where the Bible says, though he bear long with them, sometimes he makes us wait to see if we will consistently ask and be patient and wait on him. Today, in Genesis 22, we look at the sacrifice test. Remember, we looked last week at Abraham and Sarah and how God promised them a child. And then 10 years later, he repeated the promise, and then 1 year later, they took things into their own hands and had a child a different way, which wasn't the promised child, as we know. But they had to wait 25 years from when the promise was initially given until God gave them a miraculous son, Isaac. And when he was a teenager, that brings us to chapter 22 of Genesis. So let's start in verse 1. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. I'm going to take my title from the passage, Now I Know That Thou Fearest God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we commit this time to you and pray that you would use your powerful word in our hearts, that the Holy Ghost would apply it as we need it, Lord, and we would be changed for you. Lord, we ask that you would guide every aspect of this service, that Jesus Christ, our Savior, would be magnified and lifted up. Lord, and as we said earlier, we would all be able to leave and say it was truly good to be in the house of the Lord. So we love you and commit this time to you and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So he was a teenager. this promised son that they waited 25 years for, who they knew and God had promised would be the descendant through whom would come multitudes, us included, through Jesus Christ. And yet, God said, now that I've given you the promised son, I want you to sacrifice him. Imagine that. And Abraham, in his faith, obeyed. Now, in verse 1, the Bible says God did tempt Abraham. Now, this usage of the word tempt, if you look, you know I'm not a Hebrew or Greek person, but if you look at the meaning of the word in the Hebrew, it means to try or to test. And to back this up, if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, let's turn there. God explains what he means, because we know from James chapter 1, the Bible says God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So God does not tempt us with sin. But God does test us, as we see in this passage. Hebrews 11, look at verse 17. The Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. So we see here that God explains that it's talking about a trial, that God tries his servants. And he tried Abraham. Could there be a greater trial than for God to ask for one of your children? And that is what God did. He tried Abraham in this amazing way. Does God try us? He does. The Bible talks a lot about it. I'd like to show you just a couple of scriptures. Go to Psalm 11, if you would, in verse 5. And I just want to establish that God tries his servants. And often that trial is a requested sacrifice from the Lord. Psalm 11, verse 5, the Bible says, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. So we see there the Lord tries the righteous. Now go to Psalm 66 this time. Psalm 66 and verse 10. Notice what he says. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Now we know silver is tried with fire so that it can be refined, it can be more pure. And God likens this to his purification process, that he uses trials in our lives to purify us and to prove us and to make us more like Jesus. And we're told that in 1 Peter. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 1, 7. So God does try us. God tried Abraham here in the most amazing way. And Abraham's response in verse 1 was, here I am. Genesis 22, 1. Here I am. Lord, I'm listening. And you know, this is where it all starts, with the sacrifice test. A lot of Christians aren't even listening. They're not spending time with God. They're not in God's Word, allowing God to speak to them through His Word. It starts with being in communication with the One who gave us eternal life, which He's desired from the beginning of time. He created us for fellowship. We talked last week about the patience test. Why does God often withhold prayer answers? Because he wants us to pray more. He wants us to spend more time with him. And if every time we just ask for something, God gave it, let's face it, we're very self-centered, we're very spoiled, we're very selfish. That's all we would do is just say, God, I need this, thank you, see you later. But that's not what God wants. God wants us to be in communication with him constantly. Abraham was. Abraham is the only person in the Bible, by the way, I asked you to study this 2 weeks ago, who's referred to as the friend of God. Now, the Bible says he did speak to Moses as one speaks to his friend. But the only person referred to as the friend of God is Abraham. One person out of millions. Why? Because Abraham believed God, as we'll see. Go to verse 2 of Genesis 22. The Bible says, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. Now, isn't that an interesting phrase? When he already has a son named Ishmael, who's much older than Isaac, by the way. I'm guessing 14 years older. So Ishmael is a young man now, and yet God says, thine only son, the son of promise. Later he says, thine only begotten son. Because as we'll see, this story is a beautiful foreshadowing of God the Father sacrificing his son for us, which, praise God, he did. Whom thou lovest. So if God's going to ask a sacrifice of us, it's going to be something that's going to cost. It's going to be something that we love. Now, Abraham had already given up his country to go where God told him to go and basically be a vagabond. He gave up his nephew. He gave up many of his plans for his own life. He gave up his plan for Ishmael, because he wanted Ishmael to be the son that would be the fulfillment of the promise. But God still wants more. Imagine that. And might God want more from us? You know, Jesus explained what God wants in Luke chapter 14, if we could turn over there. God really just wants one basic thing from us. And that's everything. Amen. Luke 14, look at verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. That word all is a pretty big word, isn't it? Let's face it. As I mentioned earlier, since the fall, we're very selfish creatures. God wants us. You know, I want you to think about, did God need Isaac? Did God want Isaac? No. God wanted Abraham. When God asks the sacrifice of us, God doesn't need anything. God owns everything. He's completely sovereign over the universe. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Why would he ask anything from us? Because it's not about the thing. It's about us. He wants our heart. You know, Jesus said in the book of Luke, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and with all thy strength. God wants all of us. And he knows what we are like. He knows how we hold on to things. He knows how selfish we are. And he knows that the only way to get to our heart is to get through those things. And God wanted to test Abraham to find out, does he love me as much as I think he does? God wonders the same of us sometimes. Notice verse 2 of our passage. Offer him therefore a burnt offering upon the mountains which I will tell thee of. Are we willing to give God our best? That thing that we don't want to give God, that thing that we want to hold on to, that's the very thing that God wants, by the way. Because doesn't the Bible say that you present your bodies a living sacrifice in Romans chapter 12, verse 1? So what's he really wanting? All of us. When something is sacrificed, that's it. It's normally killed if it's an animal. God wants us to be a living sacrifice, which means he wants us to be spiritually dead to self, all his. And doesn't Paul say that we're crucified with Christ? Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. God wants us. And that's what this story is all about. God wants us to be willing to give him anything and everything, because we already belong to him. That was done when we were saved. The Bible says, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's, in 1 Corinthians 6:20. We're his already, but now he wants it to be real in our hearts. He wants it all. So go on to our passage, verse 3. Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, clave the wood for burnt offering, rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Do you see any arguing going on here? Any talking back? Any clarifications? Nothing. I mean, if God spoke from heaven to us and said, I want you to take your child and I want you to go up to the top of Mount Nongatal and I want you to sacrifice your child. Wow. Abraham said, okay, let's go. He didn't say, Lord, can we talk about this? Can we get some clarification? No. He gathered up the supplies, he gathered up his servants, and he went. He obeyed. It was all about obedience. Verse 4, then on the third day, ever heard that phrase before? The third day, the day Jesus rose from the dead. Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And he said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And come to you, come again to you. That sounds like a statement of faith to me. Abraham believed in the resurrection. Abraham believed that God is all powerful. And Abraham believed that God had a plan. Because God told him he did. An amazing plan. Started in Genesis chapter 12. And God kept reaffirming this amazing promise that he made to Abraham. Now these men that were traveling with him obviously didn't know. Abraham hadn't shared with them what was going to happen. And so he said, I and the lad, I and my son are going to go yonder, and I and my son are going to come back. Can we believe that if we're willing to give God anything, that God will bless? God will take care of us. God will fulfill His promises in our lives. Because Abraham did. He believed that God was going to work this out. He didn't know how. And I'm sure he was hurting. Go to Hebrews 11, if you would, again, in referring back to this story. You know, don't think that Abraham wasn't going through some amazing turmoil and pain in having to sacrifice Isaac. And there's going to be pain involved in sacrificing for the Lord, but is it worth it? That's the question. Are we willing to trust God for the outcome? Which Abraham was. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 19, where the Bible says, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. It's talking about Abraham believing. So Abraham wasn't going up on the mountain saying, well, I know that just as I'm about to plunge the knife, the angel's going to call out of heaven and stop me. That wasn't the faith. He believed that God was going to have him kill Isaac and then God was going to raise Isaac from the dead. That's what he believed. That's what it says right here in Hebrews 11. God was able to raise him up even from the dead. He believed that God was going to bring Isaac back to life because he knew that Isaac was the promised son. But would that make it any easier to kill your own child? Now that's faith. That's amazing faith. So verse 6 of our passage, he took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac, his son. So Isaac had to carry his wood that's going to burn him. Imagine that. Jesus carried his own cross until he couldn't anymore, physically. And I'm sure that as he climbed that mountain, Abraham felt what God felt when he gave his only begotten son. And for those 3 hours when Jesus cried from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Imagine what that must have been like. It says in verse 8, Abraham said, my son, God provide himself a lamb. His son said, well, okay, we've got the wood, we've got the fire. Where's the sacrifice? So he hadn't even told Isaac at this point what was going to happen. It was just between him and God. And Abraham said, by faith, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Not only a great statement of faith, but a great prophecy of the Lamb of God that would come, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God did provide himself a lamb. But this is a belief on Abraham's part. That if I will obey God, if I will give God what He's asking for, if I'm willing to make a sacrifice for the Lord, God will take care of the outcome. That's faith. And see, our selfishness often will not allow us to have that kind of faith. The give and shall be given unto you faith. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall be given to your bosom. That's faith. Because it starts with us giving. It starts with us trusting. Us sacrificing. And then believing that God understands and knows everything and will always do the right thing and that God will bless. But Abraham knew, I serve a great God. He's given me these great promises. I'm going to trust Him. God's going to provide Himself a lamb. But could there be any greater cost than to give your own child, especially a child born in such miraculous circumstances when Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90? So in verse 9, the Bible says, they came to the place which God had told him of. Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. Look at the willingness of Isaac here to just do whatever his father tells him to do. Another picture of Jesus. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. Verse 10, Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He was willing to obey even to the point of killing his son. Go to Psalm 54, if you would. This is what God is after. He's after our hearts. He's asking us the question, are you willing to sacrifice for me? Are you willing to give your best? The best of your time, the best of your talents, the best of your treasures. Are you willing to give me the best? And that's a question we need to answer. Psalm 54, verse 6, the Bible says, I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. David said, I will freely sacrifice. I'm going to give everything I can unto the Lord. Again, what's God after? He's after our heart. And so we know the story. The angel called out of heaven and said, called Abraham's name just before he plunged the knife, verse 12, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know. Now this is the Lord speaking, that thou fearest God. Now I know. It's called a test. Now I know that you're willing to sacrifice. And does God ask us to sacrifice? I believe He does all the time. When God called the Apostle Paul, He said, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And later on in his ministry, you know what Paul said? In Philippians chapter 3, he said, I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. He said, from a physical standpoint, I was a wealthy man. I was a very famous man. I was very well educated. I have suffered the loss, from an earthly point of view, of all things. And you know how many regrets Paul had? None. Are we willing to sacrifice unto the Lord? Go to 2 Samuel, if you would. I want to show you an example from the life of David, where, again, David made an interesting statement about sacrifice. Because sacrifice costs something. And that's the point. It all belongs to God anyway. But are we willing to give it to Him? Because it's going to cost. Notice 2 Samuel. This is where David wanted a place to make an offering unto the Lord, and the person was willing to give it to him. 2 Samuel 24, notice verse 24. This is David speaking. And the king said unto Arunai, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. David said, if I'm going to make an offering unto the Lord, it's going to cost me something. So I can't just take the land from you. I need to pay for it. Because I'm not going to offer up something to the Lord that doesn't cost me anything. Think about what he's saying. That's what God wants. He wants that attitude in our hearts. Lord, you're worth it. Abraham believed God. Abraham believed that God was worth the sacrifice, that God would take care of it. That doesn't mean it didn't hurt. It doesn't mean it wasn't difficult. But it was about putting God first and being willing to sacrifice for the Lord. There's another passage in 2 Chronicles, if you turn over there, just quickly over to the right, a couple of books from 2 Samuel, and chapter 25. This is where another king had paid a bunch of mercenaries to help him fight a war, and then the prophet came along and said, "You don't need the mercenaries. If God's on your side, you're going to win the war anyway. You don't need to hire out soldiers." And look what he said to the prophet here, verse 2 Chronicles 25:9. Amaziah said to the man of God, "But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I've given to the army of Israel?" And the man of God answered, "The Lord is able to give thee much more than this." Quit worrying about 100 talents. It's gone. Don't worry about it. God's going to take care of it. But this is our attitude sometimes. "Lord, what about this?" The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. God was able to give Abraham another son if that's what it took. God was able to raise him from the dead if that's what God planned to do. But Abraham believed that he had to obey God in the sacrifice and that God would take care of it. Now, of course, God did. Verse 13 of our passage, he gave him a ram, a substitute ram, a picture of Jesus Christ. We saw there. And in verse 14, Abraham named that place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. And that's really the answer to the sacrifice test. Believing that the Lord will provide. That no matter what he asks us to surrender, Jesus said, "If any man follow me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me." That no matter what we surrender, the Lord will provide. And that's what Abraham named that place, Jehovah Jireh. And God said, verse 16, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son." Well, that tells us that Abraham wouldn't have enjoyed all the blessings that he was able to enjoy if he hadn't been willing to surrender the thing that he loved the most. Imagine that. His only begotten son. And in verse 18, "And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Because. "Now I know," he said, "that thou fearest God." So is God going to bring tests into our life so that he can ask the question, "Do you fear God?" Yes. Is he going to ask us to make sacrifices for his sake? Absolutely. But is it because he needs those things? No. It's because he wants our heart. And if we're willing to give those things, then God will be able to say, "Now I know. Now I know that thou fearest God. Now I know that you're willing to obey, no matter what." And oh, the blessings we will enjoy if we are willing to, like Abraham, believe God. The Bible tells us over and over in the Old Testament, New Testament, Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. He trusted God wholeheartedly. And look what God did. "Now I know," God said. Let's pray.